We begin the new Masechta, Masechta Sanhedrin, and with that we begin the first Perek, Perek Dayanim Mamnes B'Shleisha, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Perek discusses the topic of this Masechta, that of Sanhedrin, and specifically that of the different numbers of different courts. Sanhedrin is the largest court, which we'll see if that's 70, 71. Then there's 20, the court Sanhedrin Ketana, which is 23. Then there are smaller courts, and down to the small court of 3, or even less than that. So Mishnah opens up with Dinei Mamonis B'Shleisha. Monetary law requires 3 judges, which the Gemara on Daf Gimel and Beis will learn out the source for that halacha. Gezelos, regarding the laws of robbery, which is if someone, let's say, denies the deposit that was given to him, from the moment that someone misappropriates something that he's holding on to, he's considered a gazlan, a robber. Or the more explicit case is someone that actually grabs away something from his friend is considered a gazlan, like the Pasuk says in Shmuel Beis, V'yigzel es ha-chanis mi'ar ha-mitzvah, he grabbed away, he robbed the spear from the Egyptian. Where in contrast, if let's say someone borrowed money and didn't pay it back, that's not called in halacha as a gazlan, as a robber, because the money that it was given was meant to be spent, because it's called milvul leitzanin. A loan is meant to be used, it's just you're not fulfilling your obligation of paying back the loan, but that wouldn't qualify for what we're talking about when we're discussing the laws of gezelus, of robbery. So the laws of gezelus, v'chavalis, and of injuries, if someone, let's say, injures his friend, so as the Gemara says above, pedal menav, the person becomes liable for 5 types of payments, as it says, v'ish ki'in mum b'amisa, if a person is going to make a blemish in his friend, so v'goyim, etc., says, kenyas alay, if something gets done back to him, and there's 5 types of damages that a person does to someone else, the Gemara there explains, it doesn't refer to the actual damages, it means the monetary payment of those damages are incumbent upon the assailant. And the Gemara will ask that what's this halacha of chavalis? This seems to be the same thing as din hamamnes. These are categories of monetary law, which there's a monetary payment for the damages that were done. Why is this mentioned separately in the Mishnah? It already said din hamamnes b'shleisha. Why is it mentioning that gezelis v'chavalis are also b'shleisha, are also with 3 judges, when these are cases, they're examples of monetary law? But that's what the Mishnah says. Monetary laws with 3, robbery and injuries are with 3 judges. Nezek, damages, which is either from a shur hamud, which is an ox that gored already 3 times, which then the owner of the ox is chayv the full damages, which is what's known as nezek sholem, or if a person damages another person, which is also considered damages that you have to pay for the full amount of the damages, which the Gemara is going to ask, well, this is the same case as chavalis, which is causing an injury to another person. Why mention that separate category as nezek? Or v'chatzi nezek, which is by a shur tam, when you only have to pay half the amount of the damage. Or tashlumi kefil, which is in the case of geneva. Gezela is when someone outwardly does rob something, whereas geneva is more a theft, which is more stealthily. So if someone steals something, and then it's found in his hand, he lied, and they said, I didn't have it, and they find it by him, which the Pasuk says in Shemais Chabez, imimatzi timatzi biyad ha-geneva, if they find that the theft is by him, he doesn't only have to give back what he stole, he has to give back double that amount. Or v'tashlume abav chamisha, or a court case regarding the 4 or 5 amount penalty, which is if someone steals an ox or a sheep and he slaughters it or he sells it, so there it's not only like when you're caught with what you stole that you have to pay double, there you have to pay depending if it's an ox or a sheep, 4 or 5 times that amount. So regarding these court cases also, it's bishleisha, you require 3 judges to adjudicate that court case. Continuing on different categories, ha'ainis v'amafatir, if someone rapes, if he forcibly violates a woman or he seduces this young girl that's a virgin, which then there's a penalty of paying 50 silver coins, that, or v'hamitzi shemra, someone gets married and he says to his father-in-law, he says, le'mitzas le'bitch psulim, you told me that she was a virgin, that I'm marrying a woman that was never intimate with another man, and yet I see she doesn't have a psulim. So then if it turns out that he was lying and he was just making that up against his new wife, so the Pasuk says in Devarim Chav Beis, v'anshu oisim me'ekesim, they penalize him 100 silver coins. So these penalties of the Ainis, the Mefat, and the Maitzi Shamra are b'shleisha, again, also need 3 judges to adjudicate that court case. That's Divrei Meir. V'chachamim, however, the Chacham disagree by Maitzi Shamra, if someone is, what literally means to say, he's sending out a bad name about her because he's saying that she must have done something, the fact that she doesn't have her virginity, she doesn't have her psulim, where he was actually lying, the esem shleisha, that court case requires 23 judges, and the reason for that is mnei sheyesh b'din nefashos, because that implicates a capital punishment court case. Because if it's true what he was saying, that she actually was mezana when they were engaged, and that's why by the time they get married, because in Talmudic times they used to have a 12-month gap between they got engaged and got married, she actually would get skila, she'd get stoned to death. And since it could be a capital court case, as the Mishnah tells us later on, the capital court cases require 23 judges, so at any time that he's being mitzi shamer, it also requires 23 judges. Continues the Mishnah Makis, which is the halacha of when a person gets 39 lashes, 40 did wrong, it's b'shleisha, such a court case also requires 3 judges. Mishum b'shmol, the name of b'shmol, they said, b'esem b'shleisha requires 23 judges, and the reason for b'shmol and rabbanon, the Gemara explains in Afi Yerim and Aleph from sources in Pesukim. Continues the Mishnah, Iber HaChaydush, which the Gemara will explain in Yom and Beis, but what that basically means to say is that a month can be either 29 days, but then sometimes they add another day to make it a full month, 30 days. That's called when they're ma'abir the chaydish, they expanded, where a day is really 29 and a half approximate in a month. That's how many days there are. So it's generally 29 days. Sometimes they have to make it 30 days. That's called ibra chaydish. That's b'shleisha. That has to be done with 3 judges. Ibra hashana, which is extending not the month, but actually the year, which is they add on what we know as a second Adar. That is because the Beis Din sits and they look if they're going to have to extend the month instead of 12 months into 13 months because of Pesach time has to be in the spring, what's known as Chodesh Aviv, or because the Tkufa, different astrological calculations that they have, as the Gemara explains in the opinion of Reb Shimon, and the Gemara explains this in the Braisa of Yerim and Beis, so that when you're making another month to the year, that also has to be B'shleisha Divrei Meir. Meir holds it's also with 3 judges. But Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, I mean, he says, no, B'shleisha Meschil, you start over 3 judges. U'b'chamisha Neisim Neisim, and then the different deliberations are with 5 judges. And B'goyim B'shiva, and the conclusion of what to do is to make it, to add another month, has to be with 7 judges. But Vim Gamma B'gimel, he says, if the conclusion was with 3 judges, then Mubaris, and after the fact, it will be an Ibriya, what's it called, meaning it will be a leap year with an extra month. Continues the Mishnah, Smicha Zekenim, which is the leaning of the elders on the head of what's called the Parhelm Davish al Tzibur. There's a certain bull sacrifice which is brought if the Sanhedrin had made an erroneous ruling and the Jewish nation as a whole had done this wrong thing, and then they realize they're wrong and they want to right that, they have to bring this carbon, so the elders have to lean on that animal. And Varifas Egla, and the decapitating of the calf, which is done when they find a dead person they don't know who murdered, and they have to measure from which is the closest city, which as Tosfos actually explains later on Daf Yudal Amud Aleph, that it's regarding that halacha of the measuring, that's B'shleisha, that has to be done with 3 judges, Divrei B'Shimon. And so to the Smichas of the Zekenim is the same idea, also has to be done with 3 judges. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, he says B'chamisha has to be done with 5 judges. Continues the Mishnah HaChalitza, regarding the process when the man dies without any children, so there's a mitzvah on his brother to do yibum. If he doesn't want to, then there's a mitzvah of doing chalitza, which is he takes off his shoe, and his sister-in-law, who's the widow without any children, spits on the floor, which the Gemara Yivamis learns out in Daf Kofal Mvanav, that this has to be done with 3 judges. And so to Vami'unin, which is the girl's refusal, when there's a minor girl who doesn't have a father, but her mother and her brothers married her off willingly to a man, she could remove herself from that marriage without a get, just with miun, what's called refusal, as long as she did not become an adult while she was still with this man. That is done, b'shleisha, that requires 3 judges. Now the reason for that is because whatever the Rabbanan instituted, they instituted in the same model as the biblical law. And just like we find by chalitza, which is this refusal, is with 3, so to miun, which is rabbinic, is also requires 3. And the reason is because, according to biblical law, you don't need, the minor girl doesn't even need miyun. Because the kedushin of a minor girl has no halachic significance at all, unless if her father gets her engaged. As the pasuk says in Devarim Chav Beis, "Es biti nisat lishazeh," my daughter I've given to this man, he could. But if he's dead, and the brothers and the mothers marry off, that has no biblical significance. It's only rabbinically sanctioned. So the Rabbanan required miyun. That miyun requires 3 judges. Continues the Mishnah, Neter Revai, if somebody, the first 3 years the tree's fruits are Arlef, forbidden to have benefit. The fourth year, those fruits have to be brought up to Yerushalayim and consumed over there. If someone wants to deconsecrate those fruits instead of taking it all up to Yerushalayim, it's a very big effort, he wants to deconsecrate that onto money, eat the fruits wherever he lives and take the money up to Yerushalayim. Or the same thing is with Maaser Sheni, where the second tithes, those fruits also have to be taken up to Yerushalayim. If he doesn't want to, rather he wants to redeem it onto money and take the money up to Yerushalayim, if it's Shein Dam of Yiduin, if it's not known what's the value of those fruits, for example, let's say there were fruits that became rotted, which is no clear market price. Regular things have a market price, so it's very simple how to go ahead and deconsecrate it. But these things don't have a clear market value, so if you want to go ahead and do that pidyon, or that chil, you require b'shloisha, three judges, to be part of that evaluation process. So to hekdeshes, if someone wants to redeem something that was hektish, so then you require b'shloisha, you need to have three judges in the evaluation process of how much of the value you have to give for hektish for the thing that you're redeeming. Harachin ha-metaltlin, which the Gemara and Daf Yudalim Beis will explain what this is, but primarily it's someone makes an erich vow, and then regarding the collection of the metaltlin, regarding that evaluation, regarding movable items, that's b'shleisha, that also has to be done with three judges. Rabbi Yehuda, he adds on, he says, echad men kohen, one of them has to be a kohen, because it says over there in the parasha, ke'erkecha ha-kohen, like your value, the kohen, where it mentions the kohen, therefore, it has to have one of them, of the judges, a kohen. Now, b'harkakoyis, regarding land of hektish, if someone's redeeming, so when you're evaluating, you require tisha b'koyin. You require 10 people, 9 regular people, and the 10th one should be a koyin to evaluate it if it's coming to redeem it, as the Gemara will explain this and learn it out from Sukkim and Tezvav Meralz. Now, the adam, a person, when he's coming to redeem himself from hektish, kayutzben has the same aloha that you need 10 people to evaluate him, and the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean, how could a person become hektish? He's not a carbon, he's not being used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash, what does that mean that a person becomes hektish, that is coming to redeem himself? So up until now, that's what we're describing, that primarily these are things that require three judges, like a case of monetary law. Continues the Mishnah, medina nefashis be'esem eshleisha. Capital punishment, judgments that could pertain to a person's life, that requires 23 judges. And related to this is harayva. And the Gemara later on, the Mishnah later on will actually explain the source for this halacha that we require 23 judges. Says the Mishnah, Hareva, an ox that had relations with a woman that sodomized a woman, Ovaharnirva, or an animal that was sodomized by a man, so then the animal gets judged to be stoned. That requires Be'esem Eshleisha. That requires 23 judges, just like a person that sodomizes. Same thing applies to the animal. Because we actually, the pasuk compares, equates the animal to the person. Shnemek, it says, the pasuk in Biyikra, it says, Varakter se isha vese beima. So if an animal sodomized a woman, which means to say that they had relations, so it says you kill the woman and you kill the animal. Now the animal was deriva, and we're comparing the behema to the woman. Just like a woman requires 23 judges because she's going to be killed, which is capital punishment. So to the animal is being compared, it requires 23 judges. And so the pasuk before that says Vesabahima Tarugu, that you kill the animal, that was when it had relations with the man, which is the Nirva, again the same idea where you're gonna kill it, comparing it to the man, just like when you kill the man and it requires 23, so too the animal requires 23 judges. Continues the Mishnah Sharha Niskal. If let's say an ox gored a person and killed them. So that's the ox which is called the ox that's gonna be stoned, is Be'esem Eshleisha, that stoning, that to judge this ox that it's going to be stoned, requires 23 judges. And like it says, the pasuk in Shemais, it says, Hashur Yisakal, Vegamba Olav Yumas, the ox that gored a person and killed them, the ox gets stoned, and also the master dies. Now, what the Gemara explains, what the Mishnah explains is, what the pasuk is really coming to tell us is, Kemisas Bailim, just like the death of the owners, because the owner actually doesn't die. What the pasuk is telling us is that if we would come to judge the owner, the person that owns the ox, with capital punishment, you would require 23. Kach misas asher, so too is the death of the ox, because these words, ba'al of yumas, is superfluous to make this drasha, because actually the owner is not chayv misa, as Gemara will explain this reason over there later on. Continues the Mishnah, hazeiv, the wolf, vari, the lion, hadoiv, the bear, vanomer, and the leopard, vabardlus, which is some type of wild animal, which some say it's a polecat, v'hanochash, and the snake, where if they kill a person, so they get judged to be stoned, just like the case of the ox, as the Gemara in Baba Kama says, that it's not just regarding sharhan niskal, but it's any animal that kills a person, as the Gemara there explains, the perek shor shenogeh hasapara, so misas and mes v'shleisha, so too their death has to be adjudicated by a court of 23 judges. Whereas Rabbi Yezai, he says, no, kolakoydim lahargan zacha, whoever is the first one to kill them, he merits, we don't have to wait for 23 judges, all the more power to whoever kills these wild animals. Rabbi Kiva, he says, Misas and Besa Beshleisha, their death has to be with 23 judges. Now it continues the Mishnah to the next level. So we went through three court cases that require a court of three, then those require 23, and now the Mishnah moves on and says, Ain done, we do not judge. Lo yasa shevet, not an entire tribe or the majority of the tribe which they served idol worship deliberately. Or v'lo yas navi hasheka, neither do we judge a false prophet, which his death penalty is chanek, that he gets choked to death, which the Gemara later on Daf Tazayin Amud Aleph will ask, from where do we know that that requires, as we're going to see, a court of 71 judges. V'lo yas kohen gadol, neither the high priest, we don't judge them regarding their punishments. LLP bezdin shel shiv me'echad, unless we have a court, what's known as the Sanhedrin HaGadol, a court of 71 judges. So to the Eimetzin al-Machemes ha-Rishus, we don't go out to a voluntary war, which really every war is considered a voluntary war, except for the Machama that Yeshua made to conquer Eretz Yisrael, which was called Machemes Mitzvah. We don't go out to fight a voluntary war, LLP bezdin shel shiv me'echad, unless we have a court of 71 judges. So to aim a sifan aleir, we do not extend the boundaries of the city of Yerushalayim, Val Azaris, or from the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash, Ela pi bezn shel shiv me'echad, unless we have a court of 71 judges. So to aim oisin Sanhedrius l'shvatim, we do not appoint the smaller Sanhedrin, which they used to make what's called a Sanhedrin Kitana, which is this court of 23 judges, in every single city, as the Pasuk says in Devarim Tazayin, Tidn l'cho b'chol sh'arecha, they would not appoint those smaller Sanhedrius, LLP Bezn Shashim Me'echad, unless based on the Bezn HaGadol, the great court of 71 judges, which was in the Lishkas HaGazas in the Beis HaMikdash, which they would go out and they would appoint these smaller Sanhedrin to be in every single city by the gateways, as the Gemara learns in Tazayin Mebeis. So to an Isin Ir HaNidachas, we cannot make a rejected city, which is a city that the majority of inhabitants did have a desire, which they have a different punishment than an individual doing have a desire, where they all get killed by the sword, LLP Bezdin Shel Shiv Me'echad, unless it's being done by a court of 71 judges. Now, parenthetically, once we mention this halacha of Ir HaNidachas, says the Mishnah, Ein Oisin Ir HaNidachas Basfar. We're not allowed to make such a rejected city by the boundary that separates between the Jews and the non-Jews, and the Gemara will explain the reason for this. And V'loi Sholosh, neither can we make three contiguous Ir HaNidachas, V'loi Sin Achas Hashem, but you can make one or two, but just not three together. Continues the Mishnah, Sanhedrin Gedoy Lohisa Shashim Ve'echad. The great court, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, was 71 judges. V'ketan Shalesh Mishleish, and the smallest Sanhedrin was that of the 23 judges. So says the Mishnah Menayin L'Gedoy Lohisa Shashim Ve'echad. From where do we know this halacha that the great assembly, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, was 71 judges? Shnemak, it says, the Pasuk in Bamidbar, it says, Hashem tells to Moshe Rabbeinu, Esveli Shivim Ish Mezikne Yisrael, gather for me 70 people from the elders of the Jewish people. Well, Moshe Al-Gabayin, Moshe was on top of them. That's 70 plus 1 is 71. Rabbi Huda, I mean, he says, no, it's Shivim, the Sanhedrin HaGadol is just 70 judges. Continues the Mishnah, as we alluded to earlier, Minayin L'Ketana Shehishal Esa Mishleish. How do we know the Sanhedrin Ketana, the smaller court, was of 23 judges? Shnem, like it says, in Bamidbar, it says, V'shaftu Ha'eder, which there is talking about regarding if someone murders, so then the assembly has to judge. Then the next pasuk says, V'etzilo Eder, and also the assembly has to save, which is if, let's say, the close of kin wants to kill the murderer, which you have to first take it to court, so then the assembly has to save. So what we learn from these two concepts is that Eder Shefetes, you need to have an assembly that judges, meaning that finds a person guilty, which is to kill the murderer, which are 10 people finding fault. And also, but then, like the next pasuk says, V'edem Atzelis, but then you need to have an assembly that saves, meaning 10 people that find merit. That already means to say you have to have 10 judges. And that's being learned out from the pasuk that you need to have for a total of harikan esrim of 20, because if they're going to split, you need to have that 10 will find fault, which is v'shaftu eidah, you need to have 10 that will find merit. That's harikan esrim, that's the 20 judges. Now, as the Mishnah explained, the menayin le'edashi asara, how do we know that when it says v'shaftu, which is to find fault, ha'eda means 10, the assembly, and when it says to save, it's 10, which is already automatic 20 judges that you need to have, how do you know that eda, the assembly, means 10? Shnemak, it says the pasuk in Bamidbar, it says, admasa le'edah hadra hazay, so it was said regarding the meragim, the spies, until how long am I going to have this evil assembly? Which yatsu yishav b'kalav, that excludes Yeshua and Kalav, that they were not a part of that slander of the meragim. So you have 12 minus 2, which is 10. You see that Eda Hara, the Eda, is a reference to 10 individuals. So that's already 20. How do we know to add on another 3 to make it for a total of 23? So he explains the Mishnah as follows. Mimash Mishnema. For it's self-understood from the fact that the Pasuk Shmei says, Laisiya achiram lerois, you should not follow after the many, the multitudes, the majorities to do bad, meaning if the majority of the court are finding guilt, you should not go after them to go ahead and murder the person, the defendant. Now, Shemeani, but what I infer from the Pasuk is, She'eya imam l'tayva, that however that I will be with them, to go after the majority, if the majority is saying positive, to protect and defend the defendant. So, if that's the case, if I already know that from that pasuk, just don't go after the majority for bad, but go after the majority for good. Same kain lama nema. So, why did it say over there in that pasuk, achiram lahatis, that you should go and lean towards the majority? You can't say that it's to say you should follow the majority for merit, because you already learned out that it's only by guilt that you don't follow the majority, but by positive you do find. So, what is the pasuk adding achiram lahatis? Explains the Mishnah, it's coming to teach the following idea. That loy kati yaschel etayva, not the way you lean after the majority for the merit, is going to be hatiyaschel ra, how you lean after the majority for guilt. Rather, what it's coming to say is hatiyaschel etayva, when you're leaning after the majority for good to merit the defendant, that's lp echa, that's even based on the majority of one extra judge. Meaning, even if it's only a majority of one over the ones who hold that he's guilty, he's going to merit. But when you're leaning towards the majority of finding him guilty, that is apishnaim. That's based on, you have to have a majority of at least two judges. You have to have at least two more judges that are finding guilty than those that are finding that he's not guilty. And that's how how we resolve the psukim. When it says, loisiach eram lerois, don't go after the majority for bad, that means the majority of only one judge. But when it says that you should go after the majority, that doesn't have to tell me for good, because I already inferred that only bad, not but good, yes. When it's saying you should go after the majority, that's saying even for bad, if there's a majority of at least two. So therefore, by default, you already know you have to have 22 judges, because you can't have less than 10 judges saying positive. And because it says in the Pasuk, B'tzilu Eidah, and you have to have at least 10 judges saying bad, so that's already 10 against 10. So if you want to find someone guilty, you have to have a majority of at least two. That takes you up already to 22. So on that, the Mishnah continues on the base and says, now, so up to 22. But ve'im bezdin shakel, you can't have an equal number of judges. You can't have it that they would be peers, because if they split down the middle, so then it's going to be 50-50, and you're not going to be able to lean towards good based on one extra judge, because it's going to be somewhere in the middle. So therefore, meisivin alim oirecha, therefore you have to add on one more, harikan esav shleish, so that gives us a grand total of 23, which the Gemara Daf Yud Zayin will ask. But since if you're not having an equal court, and you have to have 23, so then you're never going to be able to have Hatia L'Ra Pishnayim, because you can't have two more. It's either going to be 3 or 1, because you don't have an equal amount. It's an odd number, and if you can never have two more of guilty, which you said you should have to have two more from guilty, then you have by positive. But that's how we know 23 judges by the Sanhedrin Ketana. Now, continues the Mishnah and says, V'kami hei bi'ir v'tehei ru'i l'Sanhedrin. One of the halachas we mentioned was that this Sanhedrin Ketana, which we said is appointed by the Sanhedrin HaGadol, is by every city of 23. So how many inhabitants does the city have to be fit for this smaller Sanhedrin? Says the Mishnah, Meiva Esther, 120 inhabitants, which the Gemara later on, the Fidzayim will explain in what correlation is that to have 120 inhabitants. The Chemi, I mean, he disagrees. He says, Mesayim b'shloishim. So it has to have 230 inhabitants, which correlates to the 23 judges having 10 people. For every judge, he has 10 people under his sovereignty. Keneget Sariya Saris, which correlates to this, as we find this concept in the Psukim, that each one of the members of the court has to be a leader over 10 people, because less than 10 people, we don't find sovereignty, and therefore each judge has to be significant to have that. So you have to have at least 230 inhabitants, where then each judge is a lord over at least 10 people. Now the Gemara asks the question of the opening halachas of the Mishnah, which said, Dinim Amunas B'Shleisha, and then it says, Gzeilz V'Chavelis B'Shleisha. So as we alluded to the question in the Mishnah, Atu Gzeilz V'Chavelis Lav Dinim Amunas Ninu, isn't robbery and injuries monetary cases, where it's that we want the person to make a financial payment. So why we explain that when we already said monetary laws, which three judges? So Amr Bavo, he says, you're right, ma hein ketani. The Mishnah is in the form of, what are they? In other words, when it says that gezeilus v'chavolis, that's explaining what is monetary law. And because it's coming to qualify and say that not every monetary law will this halacha apply to. As the Gemara is going to explain, it's actually coming to exclude the monetary cases of loans or admissions regarding loans, which those things actually come not through robbery and through injuries, but rather through actually acts of kindness. And for that reason, it's going to be different because we don't want to close the door in front of borrowers, as Gemara will explain later on. Therefore, they're excluded, which the Gemara later on is going to explain from what are they excluded, because seemingly they also require three judges for their court case. But that's where Rebbe Vo comes to explain that Mishnah is actually qualifying its statement. Mahein din amamin is, when I said that monetary laws were three judges, what are those cases? Gezelos v'chavoles, like cases of robbery and injury. Avo, but what's being excluded? Haidah is like, but regarding admissions and of loans, then those two things apply to the laws of loans, they will not have this classification. What does haidah mean? Admissions is, if let's say someone's coming to litigate regarding when there's witnesses who have that he admitted, where he brings witnesses that he say that in front of us, he admitted that he owes the loan. A court case of loans refers to if someone's coming to litigate regarding witnesses of the loan, which they testify that in front of us, he borrowed the money, which this guy is denying it. That's where you would have a court case of Haidah Tzvalvois. So regarding that is what they're excluded from. Now explains the Gemara, Tzricha, we have to say both that Din Mamon is Bishloisha and to qualify it with Gezeiros V'chavolos. Why? The Itan, the Din Mamon, had we only had the opening statement in the Mishnah that monetary laws were three judges, Havamina, Dafil Haidah Tzvalvois. I would have thought to say that that would include all cases of monetary law, even admissions of a loan or of the loan itself. So Tana Gezeiros V'chavolos, that's what we have to say to explain that no, it's only cases like robbery and of injuries. But V'itana Gezeiros V'chavolos, now had we only said that Gezeiros V'chavolos is B'shleisha, V'lokitani Din Mamonis, and we had not opened up with the general title of that Din Mamonis is with three, so Hav Mina, then I would have thought to say that Hu Adin Dafil Haidah Tzvalvois, I would have thought to say that actually, although it only used the example of robbery and injuries, that no, it would even include admissions and loans, that they would also be with three judges, meaning the same laws as Gezeiros V'chavolos. Now, V'haidik Tanik Gezeiros V'chavolos, but then I would have, because I would have said that although it picks the cases of robbery and injuries, that's Mishum De'ikur Gimel D'chsibi, that's because the primary three, where the source that we find that there's a concept of three judges to adjudicate a court case, Gezeiros V'chavolos K'sibi, because they're written over there, so you pick the biblical source, but it's not only by those cases. We would think it applies to all monetary cases. It's just because the source for this halacha is written by robbery and by injuries. How so? Gezeilus dechsiv by robbery, because the pasuk says in Shemayis v'nikrav balabayis elo lekim, that the homeowner goes and he comes to the court. Although it says lekim, which is usually translated as Hashem, it means the court. Now, from the fact that in that parasha it says the word lekim three times, that's actually the source we will learn out that you need to have three judges. Now, this pasuk is talking about by asher mechinam, by someone who is watching something for free. And the claimant is saying, but he misappropriated the deposit, which is a case of gezeilus, that he, once he misappropriates, it's considered like he was a robber. So you see that that's the source where we learn that three judges is a case of gezeilus. Now, so too that would apply to chavolos, to injuries, because mali chavol begufoy, what's the difference if someone injured someone's body? Or mali chavol bememayne, what's the difference if he injured someone else's money? From the fact that it says three people when you do damages to his money, I would infer that the same thing would apply if you do damages to his body. And therefore, it says essentially the halach of three judges by chavolos, just like it says by gezeilah, because they're the same thing. They're doing an injury, a damage to the person's money, and the same thing would apply logically to the person's body. So therefore, had it not opened up with the line of dinim and b'shloisha, I would have thought to say that gezeilos v'chavolos, the reason why the Mishnah picks them, it picks them because it's by them that the Torah mentions this concept of the halacha of having three judges. But really, the halacha applies to all laws, even to the laws of a loan. That's where the Mishnah had to open up with the case of monetary law. And Tono, and it said, therefore, Mahin din amamonis, what are the cases of monetary law? Gezeilos v'chavolos, that it's regarding robberies and injuries to exclude avladois v'avois loy, but regarding admissions of a loan or a loan itself, that they're not included. Because if they would be included, so once you already said monetary law, then be silent. Why add on Gezeiros V'chavolos? That's coming to say, oh, only Gezeiros V'chavolos, but not Haidah Tzvalvois. So had you said either one and not the other, I would have thought to say that includes Haidah Tzvalvois. When you say both, that's indicating clearly that it's only Gezeiros V'chavolos and not Haidah Tzvalvois. No, but then the Gemara clarifies and says, Ulamai. Now, for what halacha is the Tana excluding the laws of a loan? For what halachic purposes is it different than Gzeilus v'Chavalos regarding how you adjudicate it? As the Gemara explains, if you would think to say that it means, okay, because it's only there that you need three judges in contrast to Gzeilus v'Chavalos, but on that the Gemara asks, but Bevo himself, well, he's the one that's explaining the Mishnah, he himself said the following halacha. Shnayim shedonu dinim amanis. When you have two people that judge a monetary court case, ledivrei hakol, according to everybody, when he's saying according to everybody, it's in reference to a Gemara later on, the Vav Med Aleph, where there's a machlikis regarding a pshara, regarding making a compromise in law. So, although there is a machlikis, Rav Avoh is coming to tell us that, but regarding the court case itself, when there's no compromise, there everyone agrees that if it's only two judges, ain't din, ain't din, then that's not a valid court case because you need to have three judges. So obviously, that includes all monetary law, including Hadar's Valvois. So that's not what it's coming to exclude for. Rather, it's coming to say that you don't need to have, that the three judges have to have rabbinic ordination, which is the real smicha that goes back to the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that they also took permission from the Nasi to go ahead and judge. The Gemara learns, teaches us later on the pact of Haman Aleph. And that is what the Hadar's Valvois does not require that level. And that has the Gemara, but Mike Sover. Then, however, what does the Tana of Mishnah hold that he's excluding Hadar's Valvois from that categorization? As the Gemara explains, because there is an opinion that learns in Agoyz Leitzim, but becomes of Kofzayin Med Aleph, that there are parashas that are written in Parashas Mishpatim that are mixed up, meaning there are psukim that are written in the parasha that don't belong over there. Rather, they're actually from a different parasha. The Torah did it deliberately, but they don't belong over there. For example, the pasuk that says, Asher Yirmeki Huzeh, which is written in Shemais Chabez, which from that pasuk is we learn that the halacha of Maidim Mikzah Sataini Yeshava, that if someone admits to partial claim, he has to swear regarding the other part that he's denying, where it's actually written in the context of the Shemachinim, the one who is a guardian for free. So on that, there's an opinion that holds that it's actually not going on the halachas of Shemachinim. Because actually a Shemer, even if he does not admit that part of it, he still has to swear. And then the actual halacha of a Moed B'miktsa Taina is actually going on a different parasha of Imkesef Talva Ami regarding the halachas of a loan. Where over there, you need to have a partial admission then to be Mechayev Mishvua. Because if he doesn't admit anything at all, then we have a chazaka that if the claim of the claimant was true, then the defendant would not have been able to have the audacity and to say, I didn't borrow anything at all. So therefore, actually, if he denies everything, he doesn't have to make a shvua at all. But it's regarding Moed B'miktsah Taina, that's where by a loan you have to swear on the other half. In contrast, by a deposit, where there's no favor that was done for the one who's watching, then he could totally deny, and therefore, even by total denial, he needs to make an oath. Now, so therefore, the Tana of our Mishnah, if he holds that there are psukim that are mixed up from different parashas, where the words Asher Yemeki Huzeh is actually talking about a different parasha of the halachas of a loan, so then the pasuk of Elikim in that pasuk, which that's where we get the understanding that it has to be a mumcha, because the word Elikim refers to someone that has leadership, that's some type of a lord, as similar as the pasuk says, Re'in Nesaticha Elikim Leparai, I made you an Elikim Teparai, which is a term of like a leader, a ruler over Parai, which the concept of where we learn out that the judges have to be mumchin. So then Elikim is talking in the context of a loan. So Leboy Nami Mumchin. So then loan should require not just three judges, but even that have semicha, that are professionals. And v'iksave ein irv parashas kasav kan. And if he holds that, no, the psukim are not mixed up. In other words, that pasuk of Asher Yirmeki Huzeh, where it says Lekim, is not going to halachas of alone. It actually belongs over there in the parasha of Shemachinim. Then shalei shalom ali. Then why do you even need to have three judges by a court case of alone? But the source for knowing that we need to have three judges is learned out from the three times it says Lekim, as the Gemara teaches us later on the Gimel Mabez, and doesn't say the word Lekim by the laws of alone. So then how do we have this middle ground that you need three but not to have smicha? Manavshach, either way. Either you need to have both or neither. So and that the Gemara answers, Lo'ilim kesava ir parashis kasavkan. The truthfully is that the Tana of Mishnah holds that it is mixed up. And the words Elikim do belong in the parasha of alone. And therefore, bedin hu d'labayinami mumchen. And therefore, yes, it would be appropriate that the laws of loans would require not just three judges but even mumchen. But then this, that we said the Tana of the Mishnah is excluding Haidah Tzvavois from having Mumchen, is Meshum de Reb Chanina, is because Allah of Reb Chanina, which is at the rabbinic injunction. Because the Amr Reb Chanina, he said, that Dvat Torah, according to biblical law, Echadin Emamanis ve'echadin Nefashis, both regarding monetary law and regarding capital punishment, Bedrisha v'chakira. You have to go ahead and investigate and cross-question the witnesses on what day, on what hour was the loan. You have to really interrogate him. How do we know this? As the Gemara continues on top of Gimel and Aleph, Shneim, like it says, the Pasuk of Yirka, it says, Mishpat Echad Yilchem. There should be one law for you, which equates all types of law, that monetary law is the same as capital punishment. And since it says the laws of Trisha and Chakira by capital punishment, as it says in the Pasuk in Devarim Yigimel, but Derashta B'Chakarat, you have to really check into this really well, cross-examine and so on and so forth. So the same thing biblically should really apply to monetary law too. So why did they say the monetary law does not require that element? That's Kadesh Leitinal Delis Befnei Lavin. You should not close the door in front of borrowers because no one's going to lend money anymore. Because maybe the borrower will deny. So he's going to have to bring in his witnesses. And maybe they'll make one small error. They're not going to know exactly what the error was. And boom, that's it. Since it's not exactly, he's going to lose because they're going to do all the drishes v'chakiris. So therefore, we don't do the drishes v'chakiris by monetary law because we don't want to stop people from lending money. So that's what the Gemara says. The same thing applies over here. That if you're going to require mumchen by hadas valvois, then no one's going to want to lend money because who says I'm going to find three professional judges that they'll be available for me? And therefore, we don't require for hadas valvois, again, rabbinically, just like we do rabbinically, that we say we don't require drishas v'chakiris by hadas valvois, same thing applies to we don't require mumchen for that same reason. Now, but then based on that, the Gemara asks, if that's the case, then if a court of three common people, what we call hadyotis, not of mumchen, regarding monetary law, if they make an error, lo yashalmu, they shouldn't have to pay. Why? Because since we just explained that it's based on the permission of the rabbanon, that they're able to be the court, the judges, so essentially, although biblically they have to be mumchen, the rabbis are considering these regular three common people like mumchen. And the halacha is, whenever you have a mumcha for a court, if they make a mistake, they're exempt from paying, as the Gemara explains later on in Perek Echadin Amamanis and Naflam and Gimlam and Aleph. But it says, but if it's not a mumcha, he's chayiv, but then the question is why? If you're saying that he's categorically the same like a mumcha, so they should also be exempt if they make a mistake. And that says the Gemara, no, because then kol shekinat to nil delas b'fnei lavin. But then for sure you'd be closing the door in front of borrowers. Because they're going to think, these are common people, maybe they're going to make a mistake, and then he's going to exempt the borrower, and I'm going to have a total loss. I'm not going to lend money anymore. So the whole reason why we allow the three common men and not require three mumchen is so that people should want to lend. But if we're going to exempt those courts, we're just going to say, these guys don't know the whole law. If they're going to make a mistake, I'm going to lose. I'm not going to lend. So therefore, that's why, yes, they let the three common people, but they did not make them like mumchen, because again, for the same reason of Shalitin al-Daz b'fnei lavin, they said, but if the court of three common men make a mistake, then they are chayav l'shalom and conscious to a bezna of mumchen, who when they make a mistake, then they're patim l'shalom.